Today is the second Sunday after Pentecost, and here are the announcements. Today is Father's Day, and we will speak more about that in a moment. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And this evening at 6 p.m., there will be benediction of a blessed sacrament. Wednesday, we will resume the Catholic doctrine talks. So this will be 18th in the series, and it will be from 6:45 to 7:45 p.m. in the hall. And we will be continuing the instructions from the Baltimore Catechism number 3 with lessons 35 and 36 explaining matrimony and sacramentals. This Friday is the Feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, and there will be a solemn Mass at 9 a.m., and then solemn benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. And we, as we always do, encourage and, if we could, but we can't, demand, but as close as possible to that, to come to that feast because of its great importance in modern times. Now, I know there's most of you have assisted at the Mass on that feast day. But I think there are some of you, either because you're new or maybe someone has hardness of heart and they don't want to make the effort to come on this feast. But it is our duty to encourage you to do so, because this is what our Lord requested of St. Margaret Mary, that she be the instrument to have this feast instituted and the devotion to our Lord's Sacred Heart explained and promoted. And just as a reminder, it's a Catholic devotion, so that means it's a Christian devotion. The devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus comes from the Eucharistic Heart of Christ. We are adoring and honoring the body of Christ, but especially his heart, because from Adam and Eve to this very day, everyone knows that the human heart is a symbol of love. And on the most basic level, is because when someone expresses love in any form, even emotional love, their heart beats greater, even sensual love. But there are much higher levels of love, especially love of God and love of neighbor for God's sake. So God, in the latter times of human existence, as it is believed, this one last devotion to adore and honor and above all love our Lord's Sacred Heart. One last appeal, and to love in a way that is not thinking of what we get, but what we owe and what we should have a great desire to do, is to love God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So, now I've done my duty, but it is not just out of duty, it's because I love God. I would never, ever miss that feast. It's one of my favorite feasts. The music, the chant is exquisite. So we hope you can make an effort to come. The other feast this week, today is the Feast of St. Ephrem. Tomorrow, the 19th, St. Giuliana Falconieri. Wednesday, the Feast of the great saint, St. Aloysius Gonzaga. not a priest, but one of the greatest saints in the church because of his purity and holiness. He was, what helped him was a fellow Jesuit who was a priest, a bishop, cardinal, St. Robert Bellarmine, who was his spiritual director. How can you fail to get to heaven, practically, if you have a saint as your guide? Thursday, the 22nd, St. Paulinus, and then this Saturday, another great feast, first class, Feast of St. John the Baptist. We all know about him, but just as our Lord and many other persons, whether they're religious or Catholic or pagan, it's just part of the human behavior, is when a great figure is coming, you have a herald or someone who prepares the way and tells everyone that he's coming. Well, the Son of God is coming, so you have, after St. Joseph, the greatest saint, St. John the Baptist, whose time on earth, even though he was just 6 months older than our Lord, his public life was less than a year. But because he was so on fire with the love of God and to fulfill his vocation, he preached and would not shrink at his responsibility. So much so that when he was telling Herod, the political ruler of Palestine at that time, he said, "You're living in adultery with your brother's wife. Stop doing that." Well, it got him in trouble, and he lost his head over it. So that is a very important day to assist at Mass also. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. John's first epistle. "Beloved, do not be surprised if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In this we have come to know his love, that he laid down his life for us, and we likewise ought to lay down our life for the brethren. He who has the goods of this world and sees his brother in need and closes his heart to him, how does the love of God abide in him? My dear children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth." Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 16 to 24. At that time, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable. "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and he sent his servant at supper time to tell those invited to come, for everything is now ready. And they all with one accord began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I have bought a farm, and I must go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on the way to try them. I pray thee, hold me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' And the servant returned and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house was angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, thy order has been carried out, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and make them come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you that none of those who are invited shall taste of my supper." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, before we speak about the Epistle and Gospel, because we have much to say, but I've decided to put the secular holiday of Father's Day before speaking about the Epistle and Gospel. And that is because not only of the cultural importance, but because of the explanation of where and what fatherhood is. Now, I congratulate and also the priesthood, the seminarians, and I'm sure the sisters with us, congratulate all the fathers on being here, and we have you can be assured of our best wishes and prayers that you may become even better fathers. So what we want to do is explain something we did in the past, but to read from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees have sat on the chair of Moses. All things, therefore, that they command you, observe and do. But do not act according to their works, for they talk, but do nothing. And they bind together heavy and oppressive burdens, and lay them on men's shoulders, but not with one finger of their own do they choose to move them. In fact, all their works they do in order to be seen by men, for they widen their phylacteries and enlarge their tassels, and love the first places at suppers, and the front seats at the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men rabbi. But do not you be called rabbi, for one is your master, and all you are brothers. And call no one on earth father, but one is your father who is heaven. Neither be called masters, for only one is your master, the Christ. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." Now, for centuries, 2,000 years that is, the protectors, the keepers, the interpreters of the Bible and of the New Testament especially, are Catholics, theologians, priests, bishops, popes. Here's what a theologian of maybe in the last 100 years has said about this passage. "But the use of or acceptance of any adulation that threatens to intrude between man and God is sternly forbidden. Our Lord is not out to reform nomenclature or the way people speak in terms of words and grammar. All human titles are only shadows of God's authority from which they derive. Unless this is clearly understood, call no one on earth father, a term sometimes used of the great rabbis. If it is not understood, it reduces our Lord's words to absurdity. Note that our Lord is not a grammarian regulating the use of terms. He is a doctor of the spirit. He forbids any acknowledgement of fatherhood that obscures the fatherhood of God, nothing more. If we make no allowance for the concreteness and brevity of his phrases, we either reduce them to absurdity or him to inconsistency. He would not forbid a human son to use the word father, nor would he forbid the term if it addressed to one who is God's representative. In the second case, indeed, it serves to remind its user of the fatherhood of God. Nor must the Christian disciple pose as an independent spiritual guide. He himself is subject to one teacher and one guide, to our Lord himself. They have one Father who is heaven. The principle of graded authority remains, but the spirit in which that authority is wielded must be one of humility. Now, the style of this and the explanation is somewhat more difficult to understand, but you understand what he is saying. That when our Lord says, call no man father, call no man rabbi, call no man teacher, call no man master, it is totally obvious to anyone who is educated and who is sincere that it is meant to not attribute those terms apart from God. In other words, the authority of a father, of a teacher, and in our Lord's time, the Jewish rabbi, is coming, has come always from God the Father. Fathers, men of you here that are fathers, remember your vocation, your existence, but your vocation, your duty as a father comes from God the Father. As it says in one of the readings right after Easter, to God the Father of lights, meaning graces from God, who inspires us. And you should pray to him, pray to all the three persons of the Trinity, but especially God the Father today, because he is your inspiration, your guide. Now, let's go to the epistle. St. John, in his epistles and in the latter part of his gospel, is all consumed with speaking about divine love of our Lord, how our Lord explains it, and quoting our Lord extensively. And then, even in his expression, he says, my dear children, how he loves the faithful, because, frankly, he was the last apostle living, so he was almost 100 before he died. And it's almost like you can hear a loneliness in his words. Plus, he was exiled and all alone on that island near Greece, Patmos. So he's writing these letters showing his affection for his dear children. And he says, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, someone who literally reads this, they say, okay, St. John in this epistle is saying, let us not love in word. So I never have to say I love anyone. Of course he doesn't mean that. Neither with the tongue. There are people who never can say to another that they love them. They have some sort of problem. St. John is not saying that. He's saying, if we say the words, but we don't mean it in our hearts, it is empty. That's what he's meaning by this. And we all know that. But I just make that one side point, because here's a case of literally taking those words and it reduces it to absurdity. He who has the goods of this earth and sees his brother in need and closes his heart to him, how does the love of God abide in him? He's condemning greed and selfishness, lack of generosity. Whether it's the littlest act or something even greater, assisting our neighbor, In the final few moments, we'll talk and explain some points about the gospel. Now, this Sunday, second Sunday after Pentecost, comes between Feast of Corpus Christi, honoring the Holy Eucharist, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So, for centuries, saints and thousands, hundreds of thousands of priests have preached that this Sunday is a reminder for all of us that this supper that this man had in this story, this parable that our Lord is giving, is a symbol of the Mass, the heavenly banquet. He's telling the Pharisees, stop with the externals. God sees into the heart. There is a judgment for all of us. And he warns them, for I tell you that none of those who are invited shall taste of my supper. He's saying, these people that were first invited, they're not going to get to heaven. That's what he's saying. Unless they turn their lives around. And it all centers on the Mass and the Catholic faith. And if there's no Mass here, let's say some cataclysm had happened here. You have your faith. And you have the desire to go to Mass. Like the, as you know, the story of the Japanese centuries ago, converted to the Catholic faith, thousands of Catholics there, and then through persecutions from the emperor, they had no priest for over two centuries. And when missionaries returned, said, how do you have this faith? And those Japanese parents and young people and children were suspicious because they didn't trust anyone. They had their faith and they want to make sure they're not going to lose it again. And it took a while before they let these priests come back in because they had to preserve their faith even without the Mass, but they always had a desire. And they would have to baptize their own children to keep the faith alive. And how happy they were when they would go finally be able to assist at Mass and receive the Holy Eucharist. The whole reason why we are here. So that is all I want to say. And I hope with these words that not only will you have a desire to assist in Mass on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but have time in your schedule. I know it's difficult out there. I can appreciate that. But try to assist at Mass even one more day a week if you can. Can you try to do that? May God bless you.